You are now tuned into the National Eagle Sports Zone. Proudly brought to you by.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
You save prices on groceries are still the best in town. 4 kilos of real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 189.99 Namibian dollars. 84 grams of Robertson's chicken spice, just 13.99 Namibian dollars. Knorr soup of all variants, just 5.99 Namibian dollars each. 700 milliliter Wellington's tomato sauce, just 25.99 Namibian dollars. 2 liters of Right Brand sunflower oil, just 68.99 Namibian dollars. And 2 kilogram bag of Pasta King elbow pasta, just 44.99 Namibian dollars. Save big at You Save.
Okay, as promised, joining us on the line is the CEO of the Ondangwa Town Council, Mr. Ismail Namrongo. Mr. Ismail, how are you doing this evening?
No, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thank you very much for making time for us today.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, and today we're going to talk about the Ondangwa Sports Stadium. As we understand, $16 million has been allocated towards the stadium for the upcoming financial year. And my first question for you today is if you could please just give the listeners an update on the progress of the construction of the Ondangwa Sports Stadium.
We are glad to talk to you, especially about this great project that we have.
Yes.
In Ondangwa. It's one of our biggest project that we have over the years. We had projects over the years, servicing land and so forth and so forth. But I think this is one of the biggest that we have undertaken as a council. It started a dream, a vision that we had around 2016, 2017, there where we discuss and say, what can we do as a local authority in terms of community development?
Yeah.
What can we do as a local authority that is saying, yeah, we are at the center of the north. Yeah, we have got this comparative advantage over the others. Yes, we have got the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Ondangwa has been the administrative center for the past. So all of this characteristic about Ondangwa and history about Ondangwa tells you something, that there is something in Ondangwa that is hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And as leadership, we need to unlock this something that is hidden. Why was it chosen to be the administrative center for the north? There's something there.
Yes.
Why was this area chosen to host the airport?
Mm-hmm.
There's something there.
Yeah.
Why was it this town was chosen to be the center for contract labor system recruitment center? There's something there. And that's something we manage and dig out and find out, that one factor is that Ondangwa is at the center of everything in the north.
Yeah.
So if you want to reach everywhere in the north, it's easier to do it here, from here. And that's why we came up with this vision and say, why can't we host, dream of hosting international sporting events in the north one of the day?
Mm-hmm.
Brave Warriors, for example, do we have a dream and say one day
yeah.
we'll see the Brave Warriors playing in the northern part of our country?
Yes.
Or are we just comfortable in saying, yeah, I want to go to drive to Windhoek to go and watch the Brave Warriors in action?
Mm-hmm.
The leadership was not comfortable with that and say, yes, it's our responsibilities as leaders in this part. Let's dream. Let's vision. And that is where this idea came from. So we make studies, feasibility and viability studies,
mm-hmm.
and we say we can do it. Let's start. And then we started and prepared and all the plannings and everything. I think we went on site in around 2021, 2022,
mm-hmm.
financial year, where we said, yes, let's start with the little money that we have.
Yeah.
And if we start with the little money that we have, other institutions or other organizations, including central government, may come and say, yeah, we see what you are doing, we see your vision, and we want to support your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what we are doing. So as we are talking, we were targeting a CAF level 3 a stadium.
Oh, it's level 3?
Level 3. Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was level 2.
No, it's level 3 that we are targeting,
okay.
Where we can have the Brave Warriors, where we can have CAF club competitions taking place.
Mm-hmm.
As we are sitting now, our clubs, African Stars, for example, they go and play in their games in South Africa last year or in Zambia,
mm-hmm.
Botswana, because of the facility. So that is what we are targeting.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep that money circulation within the local economy of the country, not exporting money through sport. So everything is done. The groundwork is done. Earthwork is done. It's major, major, major infrastructure that we have underneath there, because one of the requirements is that you must have an all-weather facility. If it is raining,
yes.
Then rain stop, that field should not be flooded. The game must be able to continue.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you have to have all the water channeling underneath there. When it rains, the water can easily drain outside of your field. So all of those things are done.
Yeah.
And that is the investment that I'm talking about underneath there. So the field is ready. It's ready. I think the planting will start soon, within this September month, of the grass. And that is the final one.
Mm-hmm.
We have got the water reticulation system around the whole facility is there, including the water reservoir, in case we don't have water supply from NAM water. So we have got a reservoir that is ready to water until the normal connection of water comes.
Yeah.
The whole sewer system around the stadium is there. That one is, I'm talking about the sewer reticulation system underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that once we start building, all these networks are already there, including the cablings electricity, street lights, and everything that will come on. So all those things are ready. Basically, the other, because it's a multi-purpose facility.
Yeah.
You can do all your athletics and everything there.
Mm-hmm.
So your tracking events and all those things are ready. Most of the games are, sporting codes are ready. They're measured. We are now just moving toward now where you can see the physical thing, where we will be constructing the toilet facility, the change rooms, and of course, going toward the pavilion.
Yeah.
But what we can see, for example, when you go there, the ticket booth, the gate, the boundary walls, everything that you want is physically there is done.
Mm-hmm. So now, in terms of timeline and total cost of the project, what are we looking at?
Yeah, no, it's a little bit difficult to give the timelines,
mm-hmm.
Especially now that we are funding this facility alone. In this financial year, as you rightly said, we set aside 16 million. But over the past financial years, we have been setting around 12 million, 12 million. So, but then our target was initially to go around 60 million facility for now.
Okay.
Because we are doing this in phases, in smaller phases.
Okay.
That matter. We want to be constructing and constructing and constructing. But then, maybe talking of the timelines is that, we want to target, toward the end of this, this year, toward the end of November, December there, we'll have the playing field ready.
Okay.
We'll have, the toilets ready.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the change rooms ready.
Mm-hmm.
That is our initial target. And then we want to open this facility for games. You see, we've got a lot of teams that participate, especially in soccer. Not only the premiership,
mm-hmm.
soccer premiership, where we have got KK Palace, but we have got also other teams in the lower division, second divisions. For example, we have multiple of them participating in the lower division of the soccer. So we want to give that opportunity to all those teams now to start using the facility. But also when they are using, we are also constructing on the other side.
Okay.
Because what they need is the field, the change room, the toilets,
yeah.
and the area is secured. And that's what we are targeting toward the end of this 2025 year.
Mm-hmm.
Then to have that, and come 2026, we want now the teams to start using. But on the other hand, we are continuing again
mm-hmm.
with the construction. So it's really hard to give the timelines, given the budget, that we do not have all the money
mm-hmm.
to construct this facility at once and just say, by 2026 or by 2027, this facility will be done. It depends on the income of the council, and it depends also on the priorities of the council. You see, we've got a lot of other needs and challenges that we have to fulfill as a council,
yeah.
especially on the housing land provision.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not ignoring that. We are not ignoring that fact. So
yeah.
It depends now really on our income and priorities. But I think for now, we have set aside 16 million,
mm-hmm.
and we want to start with the change rooms and the toilets so that the games can continue. But I think what is more interesting also when I'm saying the change room and the toilets is that we are doing this in phases, and these change rooms and the toilets have to be measured because it will fit into the whole picture when the pavilion, when the sitting. The sitting arrangement is being constructed.
Yeah.
Some of these infrastructures will be underneath the pavilion.
Okay.
So when we are constructing, for example, a toilet, it's made in such a strength that it will also be holding the pavilion when we start the construction. So it's made, it's a total, we are looking into a total picture. But of course, doing it or cutting it in smaller pieces that we can chew as a council.
Mm-hmm.
And we are calling upon all other entities,
yeah.
Government, central government, state-owned enterprises to chip in. We are lucky. We had engaged with almost all state-owned enterprises when they came here. I think around 2023, they came here with their forum. And we managed to get a slot and have a presentation with them, have discussion with them, and say this is what we are doing here in Ndangwa. And most of them responded positively.
Mm-hmm.
As we are talking, we have Rotswand administration.
Yeah,
they have committed, and we are working together with them so that we construct the access road toward the facility.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, Road Fund Administration has committed, and they are chipping in and they are giving in money to construct that one.
Okay.
So we are also at an advanced stage of discussing with NamPower.
Okay.
It's a private company, a government private company. But then we are also discussing with them and say, NamPower, we've got this national facility.
Yeah.
It's not a Ndangwa Town Council facility. It's a national facility. Can you assist here?
Mm-hmm.
I think we are discussing for them to fund at least the floodlights or part of the floodlights And hopefully they come on board. I think that will also accelerate our timeline.
Okay.
We are glad also the fish consumption, Namibia Fish Consumption Promotion Trust, they have also chipped in. They've given us some funding toward the construction, I think last year. And we are glad others are coming on board. Government visited the facility, central government. You see, it's a priority of government now to construct sporting facilities. And, of course, we are discussing with them so that at least we work together with government. Because I think most of the people are saying this is an Ondangwa Town Council facility.
Mm-hmm.
But then we are saying this is a national facility, of which Ondangwa Town Council is just spearheading it.
Okay.
It's not our facility. It's a national facility, and therefore we are discussing with all these national institutions to come on board and to sell that idea to them and say, this is a national facility. We need to rally behind it, all of us as Namibians.
Mm-hmm. No.
Of course, I've even forgot the New Era publication. They have given us that platform. I think it's a huge amount of money. I think it's in million, 1.5 million, if I'm not mistaken, for us to get access to all their publications, including social media, presence and so forth,
mm-hmm.
so that we talk about this national facility, so that everybody in Namibia understand this vision.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, thank you very much for that. And now speaking of the support that the town council is getting. So,
yeah.
And at the beginning of your answer, you said that essentially the town council is funding this itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to clarify. So the town council is not getting, the funds from that are allocated in the national budget for the construction of facilities from the national budget.
I've indicated to you that we started, this dream in around 2016, 2017,
yeah.
with all the planning and feasibilities and viability studies that we have done.
Yeah.
But then we went on site around 2021, 2022 financial year.
Mm-hmm.
And since 2021, 2022 financial year, we have been funding this from our internal sources.
Mm-hmm.
Up to the level where people can observe, people can see, there is something going on here. Let's chip in. That's where we get an opportunity to talk to different stakeholders, state-owned enterprises that I've indicated, the fish promotion trust fund. That's where we get them. The Roads Fund Administration that I've indicated, the number, that's why the New Era. That's why I'm saying they have chipped in now.
Yeah.
And I think at the beginning of August, around there, we had a delegation from central government, which was headed by the governor of our region, Honorable Hofni Ipinge.
Mm-hmm.
They managed to visit us, and the aim is really for us to get access to the funding in the national midterm expenditure framework of government.
Mm-hmm.
So because government, it's one of the priority areas of government. Central government have got around 7 priority areas,
mm-hmm.
in this 8th administration, and sport is one of them.
Yes.
And that's why I think I'm indicated that we are working closer to central government, working closer to the office of the governor, and the aim is really for them to support or to find ways of supporting this facility instead of starting something new.
Yeah.
Because there's something already that is going on in the region, and therefore they want to support it instead of going and say, it's fine, but we are starting something new somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think government is committed to assist in that regard.
100%. Mr. Ishmael, I just have two more questions for you this evening.
Yeah.
And so since you said it's a Category 3 stadium, do we know the planned capacity seating-wise for the stadium?
Yes. We, this, as I've indicated, it's not a once-off facility where we have got all the millions and say we have got this. We are building it in phases. And the first seating capacity that we want, it's the first pavilion on the west, on the eastern side.
Yeah.
But not the main one, not the grand pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have 6,500 capacity on the western side.
Okay.
And another capacity on the north, and another capacity on the south. While now sourcing for money to build now the grand pavilion on the eastern one, where that one will be bigger. It's another project on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think overall we are planning that once it's done, we are talking around between 15 to 20 capacity, seating capacity.
Okay, excellent,
yeah,
excellent.
But for now, our target is really to go for 6.5
mm-hmm.
Seating, while we add gradually
to the other
add
side.
Gradually some other pavilion on the other side.
Okay. And my last question. So the mm-hmm. the stadium will be owned and managed by the town council, correct?
Yeah, at the moment, our plans and feasibility and viability study is indicating so.
Yeah.
It's indicating so that we can build and manage it. But of course, it's not our in our area of scope to manage this kind of facilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that.
But we have got that very, very huge responsibility of community development.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to build it, we want to manage it, but as other institutions and other stakeholders are coming in, especially central government, we are open, and we have indicated also to central government when they visited with the regional governor that it's not really our aim and need to own the facility.
Mm-hmm.
We want to build it, and we have taken a lead in building it.
Yeah.
Once it's there, it's operational, anybody can manage it, including central government. If they say, no, we want to put in money, but we want to take over.
Yeah.
That's 100% correct with us, and we are supporting that. What we want is a facility.
Mm-hmm.
What we want is the athletes in the north to have an opportunity. From whom? Who is managing? I think that comes secondary to us.
Okay. No, the reason I was asking that question is because I wanted to find out if the town council has had discussions yet on the plans to commercialize the facility once it's finished.
Oh yeah. Yes, we had discussions.
Yeah.
And we had discussion, and we had visitations to some kind of sporting facility that are privately owned,
yeah,
that are privately managed. Some of the visits that we took a visit to the indoor facility in Swakopmund, the dome, if you are familiar with it, and
yeah,
we had discussions with the management just to find out how they are managing those facilities and on a commercial basis, and we are still not yet there because I think our facility is not yet there at that stage. But as I have indicated, is that we want to have the facility operational. Operational really not at a loss, because you can't run a council at a loss. Yeah?
Yeah.
We want that facility to be operated. But I think in terms of management and so forth, we have not yet gone through to establish the structures and say, yes, we'll have it commercialized, we have it like that. So we are not yet there. Yeah. But we are open to any management,
mm-hmm,
as long as the facility is kept, as long as the facility is operational.
100%. Mr. Ishmael?
Yeah, we have got other facilities that we are managing, although smaller, and we are following the same principle,
mm-hmm,
of having somebody that is managing it on our behalf. I think we are one of the first council. If you remember these old councils, that has been there before independence. Most of this council had got facilities such as the tennis courts built, including international standard swimming pools,
mm-hmm.
Olympic size swimming pools.
Yeah.
Most of our council, the old ones, had got those facilities. And shortly after independence, I think there has been lack of management, and most of them has been closed, including the ones that we have here in Ndangwa. But I think around 2017 there, where we took that decision of building this sports stadium, we find out and say, but why do we have facilities such as the tennis court and the swimming pool closed and so forth?
Yeah.
I think the idea has been coming, but how do we manage? It's not our mandate and so forth. It's not our responsibility. But then we said, yes, but it's our responsibility to develop this community. And that's why we invested heavily in renovating that tennis court and swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
As we are talking, it's operational.
Yeah.
We are not managing it. We invested heavily. We renovated. We make sure that it's running.
Yeah.
And then once it's running, we give it to somebody to manage it on our behalf. And it's going on.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I spent the whole day there with the Volleyball Federation, where they have got their Premier League,
mm-hmm.
here in Ndangwa.
Yeah.
The National Premier League here in Ndangwa. But it's because of that investment that we have made. If we could not have taken that decision to invest and renovate those facilities, then we could not have seen volleyball at that highest level in Namibia taking place here in the north. And I'm glad to announce to tell you that most of the councils have gone and they have renovated their facilities, and the sport is happening here in the north. But of course, we take a lead, and we are proud of ourselves and say community development is just not about, or development within towns, just not about housing and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot, including sports that we are glad to be taking a lead.
100%. That's excellent to hear. Mr. Ismail, thank you very much for your time this evening. We very much appreciate it.
No, thanks very much. Anything you are welcome. Call me anytime.
Yes.
We are always great to give updates, because as I've indicated, is that the facility is not a town council facility. It's a community facility.
Mm-hmm.
And the community and the people of Namibia need to understand what is happening there.
Yeah.
And it's through you that we are able to transmit this kind of information to the community, so that at least we've got buy-in, so that at least the community can also contribute and assist where they can.
Yes.
In having this dream, making this dream a reality. That's what we want.
100%. Thank you very much for your time, and I wish you a great evening ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yes, that was the CEO of the Ndangwa Town Council talking to us, and you can chime in anything you would like to comment on that conversation at 032-888-401. And on the other side of this, our special guest for the evening has joined us in the studio, so we'll chat to him right on the other side of this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? news?
Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as I promised before the commercial break, we have a very special guest in the studio. That is Mr. Philippus Shangadi, Namibian powerlifter. Philippus, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you very much for making time for us today.
Thank you for the invitations and for sharing my journey to be here.
Of course, of course. So, speaking now of your journey, let's start from the very beginning. Tell us who you are and your journey. Let's start at the beginning, how you got into powerlifting.
My name is Philip Shangadi, as it said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a proud Namibian,
mm-hmm.
a competitive powerlifter.
Yeah,
and I recently made history by becoming the first Namibian ever to qualify for world powerlifting,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be in Brazil.
Okay,
on the 22nd of October until the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, my journey of powerlifting started in 2018 when I first stepped in the gym, but I didn't know I was gonna do powerlifting.
Okay,
I just went there as a normal child.
Mm-hmm.
So 2022 is when my powerlifting journey started, when I won the Genesis powerlifting competition. That was 2022.
Is that a local competition?
A local competition.
Okay.
And in 2023 is when I also won the powerlifting competition for hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a local one.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2024 is when I also won. That is when I went to South Africa now.
Okay.
For African National Powerlifting.
Okay.
Where you get ranked and for you to be able to participate internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where now I got ranked and happened that I qualified to go participate in first was Canadian powerlifting.
Okay.
And then I didn't get sponsors because Namibia doesn't have a federation.
Okay.
And then 2024 again I came back home now after the South African powerlifting.
Mm-hmm.
That is when I won the Iron House powerlifting. And then 2025 is when Gym X now also hosted the powerlifting.
Mm-hmm.
And I won. And then that is where I'm actually training now because in my winning is that they gave me a contract for free to go win to be training in their gym.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah, so
Gym X is the one in Olympia, right?
Yeah.
Olympia.
Mm-hmm. So basically it's been a long journey. And there is no federation in Namibia,
mm-hmm.
where we can go to ask for fund, or they can able to help us to go to the government or to help us to go and able to participate internationally.
Yeah.
So it's quite a high challenge for me.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. So thank you for that. So I wanna go back to 2018. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you now?
As you speak, I'm 28.
28?
Yeah.
So 2018, you would have been around, my math is failing me, but in your early 20s, around 20, yeah, around 2021 there, right?
Yeah.
So 2018, when you walked into the gym, what was the motivation to, or the inspiration even? As you said, we don't even have a federation. How did you get into powerlifting? What made you go to the gym?
Basically, going to the gym is just a hobby for every child growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to the gym, I didn't know there was powerlifting, something called powerlifting.
Mm.
So when I got in the gym, that is when I met a lot of guys.
Yeah.
That obviously now as you are in the gym, you happen to meet different people.
Mm-hmm.
You happen to encounter different activities that comes within the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So people realize that, oh, this guy looks a bit small, but he's strong.
Yeah.
Is what we call powerlifting.
Uh-huh.
And then that is when I also started making research. What is really powerlifting? How do we do it?
Uh-huh.
So upon that, that is when I started doing powerlifting.
Yeah.
And then as we speak, powerlifting took me where I am now.
Uh-huh. Excellent, excellent. And since you started your powerlifting journey, have you been working with a trainer or it's just by yourself?
No. I haven't been working with a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
But I had few friends that I've been training with.
Okay.
And it's just a normal gym working out together with them.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I like to call it a God-given talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in powerlifting, is there like weight classes?
Yeah, there's weight classes.
So you are in which one?
Basically, now as you speak, I participate under 75 kg.
Okay.
So that is openers category,
mm-hmm.
between 67 to 75.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in the local competitions that you mentioned, around how many participants were there?
That one is a bit tough, but they were quite numbers.
Yeah.
Especially the Genesis one. Genesis hosted two powerliftings.
Okay.
So Genesis one, obviously their gym members were there.
Uh huh.
So it should be around 15 to 20 people that participated.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes to hybrid, maybe 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
Gym X also around that number,
mm-hmm.
13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes to Iron House.
Mm-hmm.
That one was a bit, not really that small, but there were more than 20, I think, participants.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So good numbers.
Yeah.
And powerlifting. What for the listeners? What exercises are involved in powerlifting?
In powerlifting, we have three lifts.
Mm-hmm.
So we have what we call a deadlift.
Yeah.
We have what we call bench press.
Mm-hmm.
And we have what we call a squat.
Okay.
So basically, powerlifting is to lift the maximum you can.
And in those three, what are your PBs in those three?
In those three, so far, in South Africa, that is where I happen to perform better.
Okay.
So that is where I happen to deadlifted 285.
285 kilograms.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I happen to squat 220, and then bench 155. So basically is that I could have done more,
mm-hmm.
and I went there as self-fund. I went there alone,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I was competing with a lot of people. I didn't have a fed eye or someone to be with.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens that we were a lot, and then I was, you know, you have an opener.
Yeah.
The way that you want to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So it happened that I was on the last group.
Okay.
So I went to go stretch when I knew that now I'm about to go on the stage and lift.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to go stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens that I wasn't on the last group. I was on the second last. So when I got back, my three lifts on squats were already gone. So I can't really risk to say, okay, you have to have an opener to see how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a second lift.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the last one now.
Mm-hmm.
We call it a money lift. So I only have one lift, which was, I wanted to start with 200. I was like, okay, let me just risk it and start with 220. And then it happens that it felt so light because it's Olympic metals.
Yeah.
So Olympic metals are more compacted.
Yeah, yeah.
So it tends to be more lighter compared to the rubbers and the bigger plates that we have here.
Yeah.
So it was a quite challenge.
Uh-huh.
And I can't blame myself or blame them,
mm-hmm.
but it's where now that home advantage comes in.
Yeah.
So that people don't know you, be like, no, two lifts already left. So you only have one.
Uh-huh.
They're like, okay, let me just step in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, no, that's quite remarkable. And powerlifting, you only do one rep, right?
No. Yeah. No? Only one rep.
One rep. So yes. You do one deadlift, one squat rep, one bench press rep.
Yeah, but you have three chances.
Okay. It's three chances to complete the one rep.
No, you have one rep. But mm-hmm. you have three chances where you have your first lift,
mm-hmm.
second lift, and the third lift.
But that's most all the same weight.
All the same weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I understand. So, since we don't have, like you said, we don't have a federation, technically you hope you would then be holding the records for these categories. They technically belong to you. And, when you went out to South Africa, did you go representing Namibia or did they make that distinction to say this is a Namibian lifter? Or they just, you were just, you know, part of the other competitors that were there?
No, I went there as a Namibian.
Okay.
Because it was an African nation's powerlifting.
Okay.
So to be labeled, you can't label this as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's countries competing each other.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I funded myself, I went there as a Namibian. So I represented the whole Namibian at my cost.
At your own cost.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is quite incredible. And so before you went, did the sports commission or anyone like that contact you? Maybe the NNOC, anyone like that?
When I went to South Africa,
yeah.
I didn't contact with anyone because mm-hmm. I already made the research that there is no an active federation.
Okay.
So when I started contacting the sport commissioner is when I wanted to go to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the 13th of May. So I went to his office, I wrote letters, mm-hmm. I tried, and then what he did is that someone referred me to international. Apparently they can help me with a visa, because to go to Canada you need a visa.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
So I went to the international,
mm-hmm.
and then they did whatever they can do, but they could only give me a letter that can permit me to go to South Africa and make my visa there. Mm-hmm. And then I checked the cost. I have to travel to South Africa
mm-hmm.
to make a visa.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, again, I need to go to Canada
yeah.
to go participate.
Yeah.
So it was a bit high. So I decided, okay, I will just leave it and start preparing for October's one, which is Brazil now that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because this one is much more bigger.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about more than 10,000 athletes that are going to be there
mm-hmm.
from all over the countries. And then Namibia should be proud that it's part of those developed countries being 100%. Represented.
Yeah, yeah.
But the only sad part is that the government is not stepping in.
Mm-hmm.
In Namibia, powerlifting is not recognized as a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I am trying my level best to actually revive the powerlifting committee in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
So that if we have the athletes in Namibia that do powerlifting, they have a federation that can look for sponsorship for them.
Yeah.
So it's very tough as we speak now on my side because there is no federation committee in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tried to email everyone, all the body, the big companies in Namibia
mm-hmm.
to say, listen, I've qualified for this and everything. I have attached all the documents
mm-hmm.
for me to legitimize everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to my surprise is that most of the companies, MTC and Coca-Cola, responded to say, we don't fund individuals.
Mm.
And now in my own personal capacity or thinking is yeah. that, what do you mean? I'm going to represent the whole country.
Yeah.
I'm not going there as Philip. I'm going there as a Namibian.
As a Namibian.
Who are the Namibians?
Yeah.
So basically is that if it was a federation that was writing an email to them,
mm-hmm.
they are likely to cooperate
yeah.
or to fund.
Yeah.
But now as an individual, they think you are going there for a personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also a sport that they don't know.
Yeah.
So I was even surprised journalists are asking me what is powerlifting.
Yeah.
So what about normal citizens who don't
gym? Yeah. Exactly. So exactly.
It's very tough, man.
Yeah, no, it's a very tricky situation. So the government is aware that you are going to, or you are seeking to go to Brazil in October to represent the country.
100%.
They are aware.
They are aware.
The Ministry of Sports.
They are 100%.
Mm-hmm. The Sports Commission also, I would assume.
100%. Even the Deputy Minister Baloit, I'm directly in contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
He responded saying he was more impressed of my energy and that I'm not taking a no as an answer
yeah.
because I've been fighting for this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no, between last week and the other following week, we were supposed to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I have to wait for those 2 weeks to pass and for me to remind him.
Mm-hmm.
It happens that he sent me his PA's number to say, no, my PA, no, he didn't send it. He said he will tell the PA to text me, to reach out.
Okay.
The PA reached out to me and to say that I must send an email to a certain email that he sent.
Uh-huh.
And then I did that just for her to reject it. So I didn't know what was the purpose of her sending the email for her to reject it.
When you say she rejected it, what do you mean?
She said, basically the purpose of the email is to schedule a meeting in person with the deputy minister.
Uh-huh.
But now, I attached that I'm seeking for sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously at the end is to say that I'm looking forward to have this in person.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the main target of writing an email to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then for her just to say, no, the resources and other things. I can't really remember what he stated,
yeah, yeah.
but it was an objection.
Oh, wow. That's quite surprising to hear, honestly. And, I'm very shocked to hear that actually. And that, you know that you've approached various corporates, you've approached the government as you should have, and we are still not able to get you that help that you need, that sponsorship that you need. And we should actually, obviously we can't do it now, but we here at Eagle FM will try to get in touch with the sports commission to see what is the process behind at least forming a federation for this. Because as we can see in studio today, we have a talent in this sport. And I know there's many federations in Namibia. I think there's over, or at least close to 60 federations. And not all of them, you know, produce athletes that are able to compete at, international level. So I think that, if we have people that can basically get themselves to compete at the international level, the least that the commission or the ministry can do is meet you halfway by at least forming that commission so that you can have that backing behind you when you go to MTC, you go to Coca-Cola, that they don't come back to you and say, we don't, fund individuals. So I want to ask you about, your training regimen. What does the training of a powerlifter look like? How many times a week do you go to the gym? What are your, I assume you have very strict dietary, regimens. So, give the listeners some insight into that part of your sport.
Powerlifting is, as I said, is a sport.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have a target in place.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very disciplined. You have to be very hardworking and actually need a plan.
Yeah.
So, and one thing people don't understand is that training and diet is equal.
Yeah.
So my training basically is that as you have three lifts, and now I'm preparing to go to Brazil,
mm-hmm.
I strictly stick to the three lifts. So I either do the three lifts in one day, it will take me about 2 hours, 30 minutes or 3 hours
mm-hmm.
in training. So my training starts on Monday.
Yeah.
So I try my best to train 4 to 5 days in a week.
Okay.
So it's really hard.
Yeah.
Basically because you are torturing yourself all the time in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to compete with people that obviously have enough resources.
Yeah.
And I mean enough resources is that every end of the week you're supposed to go for a massage.
Mm,
on your rest days, you're supposed to do ice bathing.
Mm,
to understand?
Mm,
that is when you can keep up.
Yeah.
But in a developing country like in Namibia, where powerlifting is not recognized, everything I do is at my cost.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, as a young man who is also trying to make the ends meet,
yeah.
It's not easy. I have to balance.
Yeah.
So it's quite very strict, and I mean it's quite very hard. But I always try to put my standard at a level where I can compete internationally, but not just to compete, to win.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am to break it down is that if I do deadlift and squats in one day,
mm-hmm.
so how the back feels and the hip.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's something that you will never.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine.
And one thing people don't understand is that powerlifting is nothing to do with muscles.
Yeah.
So bodybuilders are not powerlifters.
Mm-hmm.
And powerlifters are not muscle builders.
Yeah.
So it's lifting weight and building muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So powerlifting is more of tearing the muscles so they can be stronger.
Yeah.
And bodybuilding is more of pumping the muscles
mm-hmm.
so they can get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So my training is 4 times or 5 times in a week.
Yeah.
And you have to be, my diet is strictly that I have to eat, I have to know what I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
The nutrition contents have to be on point.
Mm-hmm.
So some days, 3 or 2 times in a week, I have to eat 10 eggs as breakfast at once, boil them.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask in a day, how many calories do you need?
I don't really calculate, man.
Okay.
But
okay.
I have to make sure I eat the right food.
Okay. Okay.
So I also mix with a smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
Smoothie, we go to food lovers.
Mm-hmm.
You have, ask about bananas, muesli, spirulina.
Yeah.
Whey protein.
Yeah.
Put a bit of amat, all those high protein food.
Mm-hmm.
Then once you have it, you know, you are feeding the right protein for the body to be able to produce or for you to be able to compete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nah, is there any cardio at all involved in your training or straight lifting?
You know, when you are lifting heavy,
yeah,
that is more of cardio.
Oh, okay, so the lifting is the cardio.
It is the cardio.
Okay,
so if you are going down squatting, maybe you say, okay, I'm warming up, 10 out of 10 squatting.
Mm-hmm.
So you will see that you have burned more calories compared to someone who's on a treadmill.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm when you said your deadlift is what, 250?
No, 285.
285. Okay. Yeah. So let's say now you're at the gym. It's one of your training days.
Yeah.
You're doing deadlift. What weight do you start on? And how many reps do you do that until, and what do you finish on a day of training?
You know, we also have, you check your energy level also.
Okay.
And then training is basically, you wouldn't want to injure yourself,
mm-hmm.
but you want to make yourself stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So you warm up. First you start stretching, then you warm up.
Mm-hmm.
You can even put a 25-25.
Mm-hmm.
That is about 70 now.
Mm-hmm.
Then you do maybe 10 or 5. You don't want to get yourself exhausted on the lightweight.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to move up.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you can, as you speak, I can only train until even at 215, then you do more reps.
Oh, because they don't have the right plates.
Basically like that. They don't have the right plates.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more limited.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So I must only increase my reps on the 250 kg.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a challenge.
So when you lift 285, basically the first time you're lifting 285 is in competition.
Yes.
Not during training.
Yes.
Oh wow. That's quite. So if you had the right facilities, you could probably deadlift more. You think so?
Definitely. Yeah. That is where I'm going also to break my 85. So I'm looking at about 320 to compete.
Mm-hmm.
And that is close to world record.
Yeah.
So that is actually my target as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also a challenge because you're on your own and then the resources are limited.
Mm-hmm.
And then you train, you also think about sponsorship, how you are also going to add a little money together, savings here and there, so you can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, what, I assume you have a full-time career as well.
No.
At the moment, okay, so you're full-time powerlifting.
I can say that, but I'm a businessman.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm also moving my, I also have a business to grow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, talk to me a bit about, you know, like you said, you walked into the gym one day in 2018. I assume your love for the sport has grown since then. What do you get out of powerlifting? What does powerlifting give you? You know, see, it's not an easy sport like you're explaining here. So all those hours that you put in, what is it that you get out of powerlifting?
Powerlifting is a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what you get out of sport is, you know, sport is an addiction.
Yeah.
So you get addicted. So you don't feel good. My day doesn't feel complete without doing powerlifting or without stepping in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an addiction that I developed at the beginning. Even though at the beginning, not at the beginning, but towards after the beginning now.
Yeah.
Even though at the beginning, it was something that I was eager because I wanted results. I was very skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And then how I started going to the gym is that, you know, high school.
Mm.
High school back then, bullying was allowed.
Yeah.
So grade 8, you get bullied.
Yeah.
Not basically physical bullying, but a grade 12 will tell you, do this.
Yeah,
but they are not allowed to beat you.
Yeah.
So I always felt bad. Like, why are these guys doing? I want to be strong so that if anything, I can able to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that is when I went to the gym now. So when I went to the gym, obviously I used to go twice in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in the morning before I go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And after, I go home. So that is how serious I was at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I was chasing results to say I want to be very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Now along the road, people realize that, oh, this guy, he weighs about 65, but he's taking a 50 dumbbell and then he's 50 dumbbell mm-hmm. and doing 10 out of 10. How is it possible?
Yeah.
You are very strong. Then that is when they also started bringing up this thing of saying Anatoly.
The YouTuber.
That is when they realized, they started saying, oh, you have Anatoly in Namibia also.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then I was also amazed by how people are, you know, when you are working towards something and people can see your results. And I was more amazed. Then I realized, okay, I love power more compared to looking strong.
Yeah.
Instead of being strong.
Yeah.
So that is when I was like, okay, now there's what we call powerlifting. So now in that powerlifting, there's also a time I joined Anatoly's Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But that was showing like a 30-day program where you must have massively changed from how you joined
mm-hmm.
to how you are at the moment.
Yeah.
So obviously, I didn't have much. I had more change.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you are competing with people that they are on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
And you don't know how fairness it was. But it's something that I really enjoyed. And then I've connected with a lot of people. And then obviously networking also. Because mm-hmm. we had a Telegram group
mm-hmm.
where we chat and where we get also programmed like how you should train, how you do this from mm-hmm. the guy now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, it is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And it also brought discipline and passion in me to say that you don't rush anything, but you have to work towards something.
Yeah. No, that's excellent. That's excellent. Now, if anyone that's listening, you'd like to call in to ask him any questions, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. I want to ask about, have you seen, you know, since in the years you've been, have younger kids, are they more kids interested in powerlifting since you've started?
100%, man.
Yeah.
A lot. In all the competitions that I've participated and then I won, there are kids, not really kids, more of, I can say kids. They came with their parents to participate. Mm. Let me say 21, 22, 23, they came with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they are seeing someone who looks a bit smaller because I competed with guys who were about 120 kg.
Yeah.
But they can't even lift about even 260 kg. Mm. It's a deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
Then now these guys are starting, they started asking, so man, what is the secret? How do you lift this much?
Yeah.
What is your routine? Can you train with my son? I will pay you.
Mm.
You understand? I have been encountered every competition by that.
Yeah.
I want you to train my son.
Yeah.
But now is for me, I'm not a trainer.
Uh-huh.
So for me to dedicate my time to anyone is very hard, man.
Yeah, I understand.
So how much are you going to pay for my time?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it takes time away from your own training. No, very interesting. Very interesting. Now, the competition in October, it's for how long again?
This is about 5 to 6 days because it's starting on the 22
uh-huh.
until the 26.
Okay.
Because this is a world powerlifting.
Mm.
Talking about all the people from different countries.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil, Argentina, UK, South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
All the countries that you can name, they are there. So that is the reason why you can see there are those world days.
Yeah.
In between there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Namibia should be... For the first time to be part of those countries and to compete. It's not only me going there as a fellow. I will be having a Namibian flag.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, what country is this? Because people in Africa, they normally, on the, especially on the southern east of Africa, they know South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be like, oh, there's a Namibian. Then they will start searching, oh, Namibia, this is where the desert and the sea meet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Not a random search, but they have seen the flag or they have seen someone competing there.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So that, those are the things that comes in a country being represented on an international level.
100%. And is this a competition where, is this how one would qualify for the Olympics in powerlifting?
One of the things that is, maybe Namibia didn't take powerlifting as a sport is that there's no powerlifting in Olympic. There's only weightlifting. Weightlifting and powerlifting is two different things. But even though they are the same things.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can revive powerlifting,
mm-hmm.
weightlifting will come in also.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
So in 2028 is basically where I'm also want to go participate in Olympia for weightlifting.
For weightlifting.
Yes.
And that's the one where they do like a clean and jerk and all those kind of things. 100%. Okay. I see. No, it's very, very. I'm very interested by your journey. I think it's quite amazing what you've been able to achieve on your own so far. So, we definitely need to get the right people in place to support you, to get you to Brazil, to get you the ticket, the accommodation. When you went to South Africa, did they give you the national tracksuit, like the national colors?
I didn't have anything.
Nothing.
I was even upset that I didn't even go with a flag. That is how sad I was.
Oh, wow.
Then I even have the video where they have to remind one of the judges when he was giving me medals and a certificate,
mm-hmm.
to say he's a Namibian.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have anything. So I bought everything myself. Ticket. Mm-hmm. Even when I went there are requirements that you must have a singlet. I have to buy that singlet for more than 2,000.
Yeah.
So I had to buy the deadlift socks. Mm-hmm. That is about 1.8.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things are not being sold in Namibia. I even happened to borrow a powerlifting belt. I had a belt, but it's not a powerlifting one.
Oh, okay.
I have to borrow a powerlifting belt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also had to borrow the squat shoes. I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are very expensive, about 3.8.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't compete without squat shoes.
Yeah.
And those are the things that I still don't have.
Yeah.
And obviously that is in the world championship. You can't have it. You don't know anyone. Obviously, yeah, maybe they were African brothers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Let's run through the equipment list one needs to be a powerlifter. You said it's the shoes.
Yes.
The powerlifting shoes.
Yes.
Powerlifting, the special socks as well. You said.
Mm-hmm.
Singlet. The belt.
Yes.
Do you need for the wrist?
Yeah, for the wrist, when you're going to bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is there? Is that the full set?
Yeah, that is a full set.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a choke. But those things have been provided there, I think.
At the competition.
Yes.
Okay. But so when you train, you don't train with choke.
You do.
Okay.
Yeah. The gym has.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So have you in Namibia have you encountered anyone that can lift more than you on the, whether it's the squat, the bench, or the deadlift, maybe someone that's in a, you know, that's heavier than you?
Yeah.
The
only people that can lift more than me is guys
people that are heavier than you.
No, not heavier. There are people who are wearing 100 and something.
They are doing what?
The people that are wearing, they mm-hmm. are weighing 100 and something kg.
Okay.
Yeah, like Marius. Mm-hmm. These are guys that came long time, but he's now getting old.
Yeah.
About maybe 100 and he weighs about 120.
Yeah.
But if he can only deadlift about 290, and then I can deadlift
280,
85. Yeah. And I weigh 72, 73.
Mm-hmm.
And then he weighs 125.
Yeah.
So if you go to ratio, so there is.
You can see the power.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you that you would like to share with the listeners?
I would love to talk about the federation.
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's get into that one.
So basically, my target is that I want to be the founding president of powerlifting in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually looking forward to revive the powerlifting in Namibia.
When you say revive, so did we have a powerlifting community before?
We had,
mm-hmm.
but it was an individual one.
Okay.
To put it in the level.
Okay.
The one that I want to put in is that the government should also give a budget to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why the other one died, because the fund is not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that I want to be hosting powerlifting yearly in Namibia,
mm-hmm.
where all the people from different regions
mm-hmm.
come and compete. And there must be a reward for that.
Mm.
So I'm looking forward for the government to give a budget for powerlifting,
mm-hmm.
because if powerlifting can generate someone like me,
mm-hmm.
who have funded himself to go compete internationally, he's a Namibian.
Yeah.
So that means in powerlifting, there's more potential when it comes to powerlifting compared to football, rugby. Rugby is there, but what are they doing?
Mm.
The support is there, but mm-hmm. what is being produced?
Mm-hmm.
They go to the World Cup, they don't win a single match.
Mm-hmm.
So why can Namibia look into different sports?
Mm-hmm.
So even, and also that if we are looking to be a developed country,
yeah,
we have to be touching in, we have to participate in different
sports. Yeah.
And the sad part is that Namibia is very talented,
mm-hmm.
but talent with no support, it goes to waste.
Mm-hmm.
So if I didn't have the little I have to able to uplift myself, I would have never been noticed.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yeah.
So what I would love to say is that we need people in the offices, in the government.
Yeah.
They need to be people who are passionate about sport.
Mm-hmm.
Not people who are going there because they need the salary.
Mm-hmm.
We need people who are passionate. When I talk about passionate, it's people who really understand sport. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Who wants to uplift the Namibians? So if Namibia can look into those small things, mm-hmm. to say, at least you must have a background. On your CV, you must have a background. What sport have you participated?
Yeah.
We can't have a powerlifting committee being run by someone who doesn't know what is powerlifting.
Exactly.
So what justice does he do to powerlifting? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want the government also to look into powerlifting.
Mm-hmm.
So once Namibia look into powerlifting and it starts that after competing there and they have seen the potential that I produce there on the international stage,
mm-hmm.
it's not only that Namibia is being recognized there, is that people are more eager to see, okay, which country is it? Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it? Oh, Southwestern Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So those are the things that Namibia really need to understand. And then transparency must also come in.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I have noticed is that the Namibian athletes, they are not appreciated.
Yeah, no,
hard work is not being appreciated at all.
Yeah.
So you find a guy who is fighting for an African title.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a boxer on, I would love to say he's a boxer on the freelance.
Yeah.
Why? Because his full time is a taxi driver.
Yeah.
So how do you participate how do you defend your WBO African Pan title,
mm-hmm.
but you're still a taxi driver?
Mm-hmm.
So what volume does it say? So how do you inspire an upcoming athlete if you are financially struggling?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Namibia need to invest in sport. So sport is one of the aspects that can make the country look so, can reduce the crimes, can reduce unemployment,
mm-hmm.
and can also able to boost the economic.
Yeah.
So if we can invest in sport, then we also killed crimes in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
We also killed a lot of things that are being caused by unemployment rate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are to look into all those things, because as me as a normal citizen, I might have brilliant ideas, but who is there to hear about it?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah. So when it comes to starting a federation, if I'm not mistaken, one of the requirements is you need members, right? So in the situation of powerlifting, do you think you would have the required numbers to form this federation?
As we speak,
mm-hmm.
we have a powerlifting group, a Namibian powerlifting group.
Okay.
Which I'm also part of it.
Yeah.
So in that group, that is where I also speak about, we don't expect people who don't know powerlifting to uplift powerlifting Namibia.
Yeah.
It must come from us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's something that we love.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of people that are more interested in powerlifting.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
A lot of them. And yeah. what I'm going to target first is that, if the government is not coming on board,
yeah.
so every member of every Namibian who want to participate in powerlifting, you must be registered under the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And then being registered is that you must pay a certain fee.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about even a 250.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can get about 5,000 members,
mm-hmm.
that pays 250, we're talking about 1.25 million.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can get that amount and then start marketing powerlifting in Namibia,
mm-hmm.
and host the biggest event in powerlifting in Namibia, to say, okay, the winner can win about 100,000 for the first time ever for such sport to be, for such money to be won in sport.
Mm-hmm.
That is when we can now, people really understand that, okay, this powerlifting. After a certain guy from even Oshkoto anywhere, maybe mm-hmm. wants powerlifting here and he got about 150, he can go and buy his car.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So that is the market that I want to bring in powerlifting in Namibia.
So at the moment as we speak, is there something holding you back from starting the federation, or is there something in your way from forming the federation?
Do you know, this is a process.
Okay.
And then anything that they have to do with government,
mm-hmm.
there is always a delay and a long process.
Mm-hmm.
As we speak, I'm talking with a white lady, where she said she's two or three steps ahead of reviving powerlifting in Namibia to register a new committee.
Okay.
And then she said, if you want to be the founding president, you will be the founding president of the federation that I'm starting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And, or do you want to start your own? They were like, no, I don't want to start my own. So if you are giving me a role in the federation,
yeah,
because I want to do it differently,
yeah,
then that will be fine.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how further she went, but she said she will keep me updated how she goes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that she has been talking about the beginning of the year. I don't know where the hold is.
Mm.
So basically, the deputy minister, we're supposed to meet up as he promised, but mm-hmm. we didn't meet up. We were supposed to meet up with him and the sport commission.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is when now I wanted to ask about the federation, what are the process, because so far I don't know any process on how to register it, what are the requirements,
mm-hmm.
what are the things that they looked into.
Mm-hmm. So even, what I'm trying to ask is, you have to meet them in person to get this information. They can't just give it to you, whether it's via email, over the phone, or anything like that?
My brother. People in the government offices.
Yeah.
You can email them, they will never respond.
Yeah.
You can text them, they don't respond.
So on the Sports Commission website, there's no page where it says this is what you need to start a federation.
I didn't really look into that.
Okay.
Because I wanted to, you see, we wanted to do it in a professional way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it seems like these guys, they have other roles apart from being in the office.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this guy is even telling me that no, he's saving a large organization and he can't really go out of his way to help one person.
Is this not the deputy minister now?
Yes.
Okay.
So it says a lot when it comes to government offices.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who they are there for, because we must look into developing Namibia.
Yeah.
And looking into developing Namibia is someone to participate outside the country.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter if it's one person or 10 people or 100 people.
Yes. Yeah. So everywhere you go, you just say, how many are you going?
Mm.
No, it's only me. Ah, my brother, we help a group of people.
Mm.
It's a bit frustrating.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand.
Yeah.
Now, when you said you were talking to a lady, a question popped in my mind. Is there, in that group that you are, is there a Namibian women that do powerlifting also?
A lot.
A lot?
When you were at the last competition in Gym X,
mm-hmm.
it hosted the most women in powerlifting.
Okay.
So there were maybe about 10 women there.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly this is a sport that black people they are not really aware of.
Mm-hmm.
They are mostly white ladies.
Okay.
And as we speak, even when I paid my entry fee,
mm-hmm.
so, no, just property paid my entry fee, actually.
Okay.
So when they paid this, a white lady who I just got introduced to by the brother, said, no, listen, this guy, I see him lifting now, he qualified for this, he's mm-hmm. going well. And he was like, okay, what are the things, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I'm looking into this and this entry fee. And I was like, okay, for me to be granted that you are going, I'll pay the entry fee.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So she paid my entry fee. And the rest is nowhere where I'm standing.
Yeah.
But the entry fee, if I happen to go, the entry fee is paid. If I happen not to go, the entry fee is not.
It's
the
not
money
covered.
Is wasted.
Mm.
Yeah.
So for the world championships, is there like a deadline by when you need to, I assume, like confirm your entry or anything like that?
Yeah, there was the deadline is on the 15th of September. So
oh,
I
so coming
paid,
up now.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, we will definitely try to do our best here, what we can at Eagle FM to get you to the World Championships. And so I want to ask about the, when, let's say you do form a federation, or when the federation eventually comes, will that also include now, I guess advocating for the right facilities, because like you said at the gym that you're at now, Gym X, because of the kind of place that they have, you're kind of limited into how much you can lift. So would the federation help with getting you the right plates, the right equipment for you to improve or to lift even more than what you are lifting now, even though you are a national record holder?
You know, it's a process.
Yeah.
So the first process is to register the federation.
Mm-hmm.
Once the federation is registered, then that is when you look into, say, okay, I want to open up a powerlifting gym in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Opening up a powerlifting gym in Namibia is to say I must bring out all the necessity that powerlifters need.
Mm-hmm.
The Olympic plates, also the hex squat. Do you understand? When I went to South Africa, mm-hmm. I didn't know. I haven't went to that hex squat first, where you just put the bar on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
You don't move, then you go down. It was the first experience.
Yeah.
And believe me, something that you are going to experience for the first time and see the competition.
Yeah.
Imagine how challenging it should be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you have to adapt very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that we really want to look into to say, okay, I don't want our athletes in Namibia to go compete internationally, but they're encountering something different
than what they are training with.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But firstly, we must revive the powerlifting, and then mm-hmm. we look into those things now.
Excellent, excellent. So, like looking now into the history of Namibian powerlifting, who are some of the names that were in the community in the past that you might know of?
I know a few, but I don't really know their names, man.
Yeah.
You know, in the gym, you know a brother that you've seen for 2 years, but you don't know
his name. Yeah, no, it's true. It's true.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, in powerlifting, is there like a, you know, in most sports, there's a peak age range. Like, you know, in football, they say like 27 to 31, like that's your peak age. Is there something similar in powerlifting?
Yeah, in every sport is like that.
Yeah.
You have your peak,
mm-hmm.
where you are, your body have to be at the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it applies at powerlifting also. That at the peak is mostly at the openers. Between 24, 23, until early 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the opener where you are at your best.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we go now at seniors, masters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, very interesting. Very interesting. So, any other, something else that I didn't ask you that you want to share? Or discuss?
What I would love to add up is about the recognition of our athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to, if you really want to boost our economy,
mm-hmm.
investing in sport is one of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to also educate our citizens that you can make it in sports the same way an educated someone, be it a teacher, an accountant, mm-hmm. can also make it.
Mm-hmm.
Because believe me, a lot of people go through depression when they fail, either grade 12 or they don't reach there. And then that is when now national crisis comes in.
Yeah.
Crimes and suicide.
Yeah.
Because people have given up.
Yeah.
Why? Because they don't have any hope.
Mm-hmm.
The government is focusing on people who are ready for, I mean, who are productive.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not actually bringing up people to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a challenge. And as a government, we really need to accommodate everyone,
mm-hmm.
to say you can also make it. And in sport is where you can really make money. Look at Peter Shalulile.
Mm-hmm.
From nowhere.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
He's a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Just from football. But can you be a multimillionaire playing in Namibia?
Definitely not. Yeah.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Let's say miraculously, the PA of the deputy minister sends you the email tomorrow and says, the meeting is Tuesday, 8 o'clock. You are now in the office with the minister, or the deputy minister rather. And, let's say the sports commission is also there.
Hmm.
What are some of the things you would like to say to them?
Firstly, the first thing that I'll start with them is that, as an individual who qualified for powerlifting,
mm-hmm.
on my personal gain,
mm-hmm.
or on my personal level,
mm-hmm.
with the little resources I have,
mm-hmm.
I was able to make it international.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it say? They should start in taking into sports that are bringing or uplifting the Namibian flag.
Yeah.
It's not necessary that football and other sports that are popular are the ones that need to be invested in. Is where there is potential. They must invest where there is potential.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
As a single person, being the first one to qualify, this is not something that I just woke up and say I'm going to Brazil. It took time. It's rankings.
Yeah.
You can't be fighting in Namibia and then you wake up, you go fight in America.
Yeah.
You see, you have to go through all the process.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is a chance that I've gotten earlier. To understand.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what I would love to advise them is that firstly, I would love to revive the federation in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Let the federation be run by the government. But being run by the government must be run by someone who is a powerlifter,
mm-hmm.
who understands the in and outside. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And let's also host powerlifting yearly in Namibia. Mm-hmm. And let's start hosting every sport in Namibia yearly. And then our athletes should be appreciated.
Yeah.
Not being paid or being paid peanuts. You are a Namibian national boxer, let me say like that,
mm-hmm.
and still have nothing. On that title, you got about maybe 1,000, 2,000.
Yeah.
Are we really playing games or we are really uplifting people that can make a living out of boxing? Mm-hmm. Now, this is on a boxing level.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So we really need to appreciate them. And then that's the reason why people say, okay, for you to make it in Africa, you must get involved in corruption.
Yeah.
Now, that is the only way.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm.
But if you can start making the younger ones that are being born now to say, you can be a millionaire in Namibia just by swimming.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Because you go in Olympic, if your best thing is to uplift yourself, be consistent, hardworking, then you go to Olympic.
It will pay off.
Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
If we start doing those things, Namibia will be very unstoppable because Namibia is one of the talented countries in the world.
Mm.
And our talent is going to waste because of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? The people that are in the office, they are more of self-enrichment.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? They want to feed themselves and their family and their closer ones.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And on the point of appreciating our athletes, I was at the Athletics National Championships over the weekend. And I mean, it was how can I say? It wasn't an encouraging sight. Let me say it like that. You know, the stands are empty. Barely any media is there. Obviously, we know the state of the stadium itself, Independence Stadium. If I was a young and upcoming athlete, the track and field athlete, and I saw what I saw over the weekend, I wouldn't be encouraged to keep working hard to let's say run 200, run 100 meter, whatever my discipline was. If I was at those nationals, I'm talking about now nationals, you know, this is supposed to be the best athletes in the country coming to Windhoek for this weekend. But the way it was it just wasn't encouraging. So I think that, goes to the point that you are saying that more needs to be done in terms of, you know, uplifting our athletes, appreciating our athletes. Those that are achieving at a high standard, they need to be supported more. So yeah, I echo your sentiments on that one for sure. Is there, anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners before we close off for the evening?
I would love to conclude with my powerlifting journey.
Mm-hmm.
Basically is that I'm actually looking for sponsorship,
mm-hmm.
be it from the government, be it from private entities,
mm-hmm.
be it for individuals who are listening and they are willing to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually want to be part of the journey where we are going to leave the Namibian flag in Brazil. So this is not only about my imagination or my image about being there in Brazil. This is going to be as a Namibian. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
This is where I really need Namibians to raise the flag with me in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And raising the flag with me in Namibia is either sponsorship. Sponsorship, it can come in different ways. It mm-hmm. can be financial support, which mm-hmm. we are looking into. It can be a referral to someone who can say, okay, I can refer you to this one, or I can help you with this one that you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be that, no, where are you going to participate? I'm going to pay accommodation myself.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually looking forward for Namibians to help me when it comes to this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the, I have done the hard work on my own.
Yeah.
Now this is when I really need them to step in and to help me out. Mm-hmm. And we can raise the Namibian flag high on the world stage for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be about more than 10,000 athletes in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be something that is going to be very interesting. And this is something that I've been preparing for more than 7 years. And I'm not just going there to compete. Do you understand? My target is to win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is what, I want them to come on board.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give out my number.
Yeah, either yeah, please
to,
do.
Yeah, either for them to contact me, they can contact me and support me out,
mm-hmm.
or they can refer me to someone or somewhere that I can get where I need to be. Maybe there's someone who's listening and is closer to the sport commissioner.
Yeah.
In Namibia or in Africa, it's more about referral.
Yeah. You understand? Yeah. It's about who you know.
It's about who you know.
Mm.
Correct. So my number is 081-610-2906. I'll repeat, 081-610-2906. So I'm going to appreciate whoever is going to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I, believe me, we are going to raise this Namibian flag high for the first time ever.
And your social media, in case someone wants to reach you on there?
My social media is Shangadi_610.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Philip. Thank you very much for sharing your story and your journey. We hope people out there listening, they took it in, and whoever is able to help you does give you the support that you need to, you said, so the, let's say someone does want to support you. You said it has to happen by the 15th of September, right?
No, that was the entry fee.
Oh, the entry fee. Paid. Oh, that's already covered.
Yes.
Okay. So we still have about a month.
Yeah, about a month. Okay. But you know, the earlier the better.
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much for your time this evening. We appreciate your story, and like I said, we'll do our best to continue to put your story out there in the public so that you can raise the Namibian flag, like you said, and continue to achieve the great things that you achieved here. I mean, the listeners obviously can't see you, but you said you weigh how much?
As you speak, about 73 now.
73. I mean,
yeah.
If we compare our two bodies, you won't believe that I weigh more than you, but The amounts that you told me that you can lift today, I'm quite shocked by how much you said you can lift, especially on the deadlift. And it sounds like you said, like you can lift 300 on the deadlift. So whoever's out there listening, this is a remarkable Namibian that needs our support. And yeah, this has been another interview on the Eagle Sports Zone, and we will be back right after this. We actually have a caller on now. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening. How are you, brother?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm alright, man. I just want to talk to Philip before you go.
Okay. Yeah, he's here. He's listening.
Yeah, Philip, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm also okay, man. How is David?
Sorry?
Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Like, I lost you a bit there. I just want to encourage you also, Philip, man. Don't never give up. You know, these are one of the sports I think in Namibia, people are not recognizing.
Mm.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, we have so much youth guys who, I'm telling you, they are not even participating when it comes to national level. And they are talking about even international. And these are things which we need in our country.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm telling you, a lot of sports courts, especially when I don't know who support to our first, they did this when it comes to sports commission, or it's a Minister of Education.
Yeah.
Because when you look even in Katutura, we don't even have a tennis court. Yeah, the whole Katutura is tennis court, my friend. You talk about swimming pool, it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
But there we want to compete to qualify for Olympic, and you talk about, there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Commonwealth, but we are not even appreciating our people when it comes to Katutura. So they are more like, we are focusing in one area where even like in Katutura, you only find like a two or three school who are having a rugby field.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the sports commissioner, they need to pull up their socks. Seriously.
Yeah.
We cannot continue this way. Because I'm telling you, once you focus on soccer, there are more people who are good when it comes to bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
There are more people who are good in tennis,
mm-hmm.
but we are not giving them a space.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are looking at even soccer, we are not really leading our people.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Botswana and why we are having candle which are surrounding us. They are playing professional football. But in our country, why?
Yeah.
Look at the Botswana, what they have,
yeah.
which we don't have in our country. Why we have a company, we are not investing in our country, but in South Africa, they are even in soccer field. Some of them, they are even sponsoring the what, cups, and we talk about a lot of things. But in Namibia, serious, look at the league. It's not yet starting because there's no sponsor.
Mm.
But we have a lot of, I think we need to create a policy where we say no, 50%, I mean, like even, let them say even like 5% must go to water sport.
Yeah.
Straight to sport, not in government. Because the government also giving a penalty. Look at what they give it to sport in general. It's mm-hmm. like they give only money for administration.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to reward, even like people are participating, like a lot of them saying like, cycling, people are, you see a person is getting 10,000. At 10,000, you cannot even buy a bike.
Yeah.
You talk about people are learning for marathon. They are getting like what? 6,000, how much is the shoes for learning?
Mm.
It's a hard time, man. And
like Philip today said, he needs, the socks that he requires are almost 2,000.
Just imagine.
Mm.
I'm telling you. And it is a thing we are talking every day because they don't care because the kids, they don't compete. How can a small country like this, but we never even a director kid competing in, represent giving like a national team? Or even like in playing in one of the club like the African Star or Chula Chula. Ask yourself a question. But it's a small country. And there are more even potential because they're having all that opportunity for their father, they're having something for them to compete in sport.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not happening. That's why they don't invest. They are more learning, teaching their kids how to steal money in the country. And that's what they are busy doing the whole time for 35 years old. 35 years. Wait, we are learning independence.
Yeah.
It's a hard time. It's a hard time, I think. A sport, you guys, maybe you can contact the sports commission so we can have some questions.
Yeah, no,
because they are getting also higher salary. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, why? We don't know what they are doing in the office.
Yeah.
Anyway, Philip, continue, my brother. We support you
100%. Okay. Thanks, man.
We are waiting for you to bring it to home.
Okay, thanks, man.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Yes, if there's anyone that'd like to come through in the last, we'll give last few seconds before Philip heads out for the evening. Philip, before you go home, just give your number one more time so that people know where to reach you.
My number is 081 610 2906. 610 2906.
Excellent. Yes, Philip, thank you again for your time. And, like I said, we will do what we can to help you and we'll be in touch. Maybe we'll try to, or we will try to reach out to the commission on your behalf. And, let's get you to that championship in Brazil. And so you can bring it home, like the caller said. We will be back after this.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone. are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Thanks again to Philip for coming to the studio to share his story, share his struggle, really. And now we have about 5 minutes left in the program. Before I sign off for the evening, and as Philip was talking, the Liverpool-Arsenal match finished with Liverpool winning that one 1-0. Dominic Szoboszlai, where is he from? Hungary? Yeah, the Hungarian. Scoring the late goal to give Liverpool the 3 points in that crucial fixture. It was actually a free kick that he scored as well. So, congrats to all the Liverpool supporters out there. And in the last few minutes I have, let me, run through some local sports news that I didn't get to in the beginning. We had, we started with the Ondangwa Stadium. I'll talk about some of the defeats from the athletics championships. We had, in the 100 and 200 meter on the women's side, our famous Olympians, Beatrice Masilingi and Christine Mboma, didn't compete due to new injuries that they recently sustained. So we had, Jade Nangula in their absence took center stage by winning both the 100 meter and the 200 meter gold medals with times of 11.67 and 23.82 respectively. We had an 18 year old win the high jump on the men's side with a distance or a height rather of 2 meters. And this gentleman, Benjamin Hendricks, although he's 18, he's currently a matric student at the St. Paul's College of Namibia. This is his fourth time at the Nationals. So there, another example of a distinguished distinguished athlete. We had 16-year-old set a national record in the hammer throw. A young lady by the name of, let me just make sure I get her name correct. A young lady by the name of Ansune Smith set a new national record in the hammer throw, women's hammer throw, with a distance of 45.81. Quite remarkable for her. Congratulations to her for setting that new national record at such a young age. And then we also had 20-year-old Nicolas Duplessis, who won the 110-meter hurdles title, and he set a personal best of 14.61. Eagle FM, good evening.
Hello.
Eagle FM, hello.
Yes, I'm talking with the result of Liverpool in Arsenal.
Yes, Liverpool won that one 1-0.
Who scored?
Szoboszlai.
Szoboszlai, wow, number 8.
Yeah, number 8. He scored a free kick.
Alright.
Yes. Yes, here on Eagle FM, we accommodate all questions. If you would like to know the score of any match, come through. I have about a minute left before I sign off this evening. I was running down the Nationals, some of the highlights. Where was I? I was at Nicolas Duplessis, who set a personal best of 14.61 in the 110-meter hurdles. And this is how I found out that the 110-meter hurdle national record was set by a gentleman with the name Flip Bredenhahn in the year 1980. So this record has stood for 45 years. I'm actually not even sure how. I should have done more research into this. How was this recorded in 1980? How do we know this is, you know, this is accurate? Especially considering technically Namibia wasn't Namibia at that time. And the fact that it's never been broken either. What's going on in the 110 meter hurdles in the nation of Namibia? It would be very interesting to find that out. But if anyone can break it, I think it would be Nicholas. Nicholas, I saw him in person. It seems like a big, powerful young man. And he's only 20 years old and he's within touching distance. About 5/10 of a second away from breaking the record. I mean, we know in athletics the margins are small. But I think Nicholas can do it with more training. This was his first nationals as well, so promising young talent we have in Nicholas. And today was supposed to be actually the day of the World Cup fundraiser game between Chula Chula and African Stars. Unfortunately, as you know, it didn't get to happen because they didn't get a sponsor. And I actually had a lot to say about this, but maybe we'll save it for next time. Cause I have run out of time. I have gone past my allotted time, which is 8 p.m. But the Brave Warriors are in action this week, actually, against Malawi and then against Sao Tome and Principe. Must win games for the Brave Warriors, as we know, playing in Botswana, playing their home games in Botswana. Those of you that are going, wishing you a safe trip. And, this has been another fantastic edition. This has been one of my more favorite editions of the Eagle Sports Zone, actually. But this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Live from our Vintage Studio as per usual. I will see you same time, same place next week, Sunday, on your number one talk radio station from 6 to 8 p.m. Do stay tuned for the next program and don't forget to subscribe to The Villager by sending your WhatsApp number or by sending a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Make sure to save the number as a contact. And I'll see you next week.
Redemption song. Redemption. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. No more do ourselves can free our mind. Whoa, have no fear for atomic energy. Cause none of them can stop off the time. Allah shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look. Some say it's just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book. Won't you as I say? Jesus of freedom. That's all I ever had. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Number two ourselves can free our mind. Whoa, have no fear for atomic energy. Cause none of them I can stop off the time. Allah shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look. Some say it's just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book. Won't you as they say? Jesus of freedom. Redemption song, sons of.